Genesis chapter 15. In the obscure waters of Canada and Alaska, the life of the king salmon begins. As it develops, it swims into the streams, the rivers, the lakes, and then ultimately into the ocean, where it will spend most of its life. There will be at a certain time in its instincts a trigger. This will trigger its return back to the place of its origin, where its life began. To do so, it will have to overcome obstacles, the current, overcoming obstacles like rocks and waterfalls, predators. Ultimately, it will return back to the place where it was born. In relation to you and I this morning, salvation begins in obscurity, in this place called small beginnings. And there will be in those moments, especially early on, triggers. Those triggers will seek to invite you into a place where salvation becomes more personal, intimate. To do this, there will be those moments in an individual's faith, a development. This happens in church services. This is why we challenge you to be faithful. During those moments of teaching and preaching, there will be in that moment, through the Word of God, it counsels, it convicts, and it comforts. As the Word of God living is declared to you, it will begin to pull you into a place where necessity simply means that you will become more aware of the fact that there needs to be in your life an appetite for the things of God, a passion for prayer. In the development of the man of God, he will find the need, the necessity to read the Word of God, to be intimate with God's Word. And then again, you will hear as the man of God preaches at the altar, you will enter into a place where you submit your life. You hear the voice of God, "Who will go for us?" And then you have to make a decision. "Here am I, Lord. Send me." So you will find in these moments when God challenges you a need. And that need is that you're going to have to make up your mind, "I'm contending for a breakthrough. I'm contending for the promises of God. I want God's will for my life. Nothing else other than that as a priority. This is the pursuit. This is the passion. This is what I seek to apprehend in my life. God's will. God's plan. God's purpose." And the key component is contending. You will have to be a man who contends for the will of God. I want to preach a message I have entitled "Contending" out of Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Would you read along with me? "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward.' But Abram said, 'Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?' Then Abram said, 'Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to them, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him, cut them in two down the middle, and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Verse 17, "And it came to pass when the sun went down, it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram." God, we thank you, for you are a covenant-making God. We're grateful for the Holy Ghost, this host of men who have come to hear your word. I'm believing for the glory of God to be manifest in our lives. We are praying for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We believe for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look first of all at the storm. Now, here in the scripture, it says that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, this simply means mental image. Visions can be positive or they can be negative. Here in the life of Abram, the perfect storm, a crisis, the two elements that we see, first of all, fear. Secondly, barrenness. These are creating the perfect storm, the crisis of the moment. What he was going through at this time in his life. And we find that God speaks to him and he says, "Abram, fear not. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." The word of God spoken. Here we find God speaking to the storm. The storm that's apparent in Abram's life. God's word for our lives. This is the word that speaks to the storm. Be still. Matthew chapter 8, we again have a picture. In this picture, Jesus is in the bow of the boat. He's asleep. A gale erupts. The Bible says that the ship begins to take on water. The disciples, they cry out, "Jesus, save us." Jesus awakens from the nap. He says, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he turns and he says to the storm, "Be still." Again, this is the formula of God's word. God's word spoken. Those moments in our lives, we're going through struggles. It may be financial. It could be spiritual, relational, mental. However it applies, the storm is real. The mental image is real. The struggle, what it is doing to me. How do I fix this? The barrenness. The fear. God made me to promises. Genesis 13, he said there to Abram, "Abram, I will give you descendants like the sand upon the seashore." But there's still the struggle, the weariness. And God speaks, and he speaks, and as he relates to this man, he also relates to you and I. Because God's word, his promises for our lives are gifts. And that's what I want to look at secondly. The gifts. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You just had Jerry Fussell, who operates in the gifts very powerfully. These gifts are given to men. The reason for that is God wants to dispense. He wants to relate. He wants to help you and I, speaking in the moment to the need, to the circumstance. However it applies in your life, there are men here. God has spoken to you in the past. God has given you promises. He has actually given you a picture, something in your heart. But now you're in the midst of the storm, the struggle. And it is here that God wants to speak. The gift, the promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you find two of the gifts in operation. An actual picture on how the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom address people's lives. How when they are spoken, what they do. And this is very helpful because this is God's intentions. He wants to speak to you. It may be in the private place, in prayer, through a sermon, at an altar. However, the reality is God has promises for our life. And here again, it is apparent. Because what happens is Abram prays. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward, God declares. Abram says, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? His passion, his desire, his faith. He's believing for a breakthrough. And God speaks and he says, Eleazar of Damascus is not your heir. Your heir will come from your own body. And so here is a very powerful picture of the word of knowledge. When you receive the true word of knowledge, what you will find, first of all, is it's specific. It is specific. It speaks directly to this area in Abram's life, barrenness. When God, barrenness. And this has created a crisis of faith. He says, Eleazar of Damascus is not your heir. Your heir will come from your own body. It is encouraging. You find an encouragement here in the struggle. You will find that when an individual receives the word of knowledge, it will direct you to a place where there is a breakthrough. God, what do I do? How do I deal with this? Who do I trust? There are things that happen in the heart of the man of God in pursuit. Timothy, his faith had been assaulted. The man of God speaks. He challenges him to remember the faith of his grandmother. He challenges him to remember the promises of God, redirects him towards what God has already done. He said, God has done great things. Stir up the faith that is in you, Timothy. Triggering. and expectancy and the word of knowledge directed towards your life will trigger an expectancy. God, I can do this. The second thing that we see is a picture of the word of wisdom. Notice now what happens. God says, come outside, look up at the stars, count them. These stars represent something I've already told you. Your descendants, like the sand upon the seashore. Scientists say that there's more stars in the heaven than there's sand upon the seashore. He says, look, I'm redirecting you towards something I've already told you. I am giving you a glimpse of a promise again. I have made you a promise. I am the real promise keeper. I am a covenant-keeping God. He says, look at the stars, count them if you may. And the God who knows the beginning from the end, he says, as he's counting them, God's looking beyond the moment. He's looking at other constellations, the future. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. And as he's speaking, the God who knows the beginning from the end, he looks into October 2019 and he sees a group of men assembled together. Assembled together because of the promises that he's made Abraham. You and I are in that covenant. That promise, that's the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom always gives us a picture or an actual glimpse of the future. When I was a disciple in Farmington, my wife and I, we were pursuing the call of God. There was a lot of things that had to change. But we heard the voice of God. So we're in Gallup one morning driving out to the seminars. And I'm talking to Paula. I said, Paula, if God will help us, I will go anywhere. I will do anything. I got to the seminars, sitting in an audience of several hundred men or people. And Pastor Cluck's preaching. And as he's preaching, he stops, points out into the audience. You know how everybody wants to get in front of Pastor Cluck's finger? You, brother, you. Me. He said, would you stand? He said, you told God you would go anywhere, you would do anything, and he's going to take you up on it. And all of a sudden, I got a glimpse of the future. And it began to live inside of me. Notice what Abram did. The Bible says that first of all, he believed. This is the key. And the scripture says, God accounted it to him as righteousness. This is an accounting term of reference to something that's been recorded. When you and I believe, without faith, it is impossible to please God. When you and I believe the word of God, there is a record. In relation to his covenant, in relation to the promises that God has given you and I. And when there is that necessity, we believe. We say, God, I believe what you have told me to believe. And it's accounted to you and I as righteousness. The second thing that Abram did. Notice that God said, I am the God who brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. What would you have me to do, Lord? I don't have kids yet. How about the past promises? Could we work on those for a little bit? Now you want me to believe for the land? What would you have me to do, Lord? Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a pigeon, a ram, a 3-year-old ram, and a turtle dove. Bring them to me, which again is very helpful, because what has happened is now he is building an altar. He is sacrificing the very best that he has. In Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And this, in fact, is what Abram submits his life to. He yields himself to an altar designed by God. An altar. A place where he says, I believe and I'm willing to make this investment. God, whatever it takes. You want the best of my flock? I'm willing to give it to you. This is a picture of contending. I want to close with a supernatural response, because we see two of them. The first, the Bible says, once that the animals have been prepared, laid out upon an altar, the vultures come. This is supernatural. It is demonic. We know that the devil's identity is that he is a devourer. He has come to steal, kill, and that's what he does. And so here is the very best. God, I've surrendered my life. I have believed for breakthroughs. I have pressed through in the struggles of my faith. God, you gave me this promise. I have seen you move. You have helped me to be victorious. But right now, hell is raging against the sacrifice, my life. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. But what he did is very helpful. Simple, but helpful. That is, he began to resist. He chased off the vultures. He fought for his destiny. And this again is what contending is all about, gentlemen. It's that you're willing to fight for what God has promised you. And when the hell comes in like a flood, I believe the word of God. God has set up a standard through his word, through his interest in my life. And I'm going to passionately pursue. Devil, you can't have what I've given to God. You can't have it. It's not yours. And the next thing that happens in the fight is a darkness. And a deep sleep fell upon Abram, which again tells us that in the fight there's a weariness. Sometimes things happen to where now there seems to be such an overwhelming weariness. I'm tired, fatigued. There's men here. You're under an assault in your mind. A darkness, a demonic power has come. And what it does is it comes to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Weariness. And the enemy seeks to, at this point, detour us. I want to look now at the response of God again, because this is also supernatural. And the scripture says that now a smoking oven and a torch, they pass over the sacrifice. This again is God moving upon your life and mine. God helping us when we have no resources left. What's happening with the oven is it's diffusing a smoke. It's actually speaking of a prophecy, a 400-year affliction in the iron furnace in Egypt. He is saying, though, I'm making a covenant with you. No matter what you're going through or what you're going to go through, I am going to be involved. I'm going to help you to get through this. Psalms 119, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a guide upon my path. And this is the consistency of God. The passion of God is for you to break through, Abram. Your descendants, here we are, we're gathered together because God kept his promise with Abraham. We're breaking through, gentlemen. Whether you feel like it or not, I said we are breaking through. I conclude. It was several years after I had received that promise. God's going to take you up on it. Now, Pastor Payne comes to me. He says, Chris, I want to send you out. Where do you want to go? I said, well, I want to go to the Navajo Reservation. Chris, I'll send you to the city. I said, no, I've heard the voice of God. He said, well, there's four things that need to take place before I send you there. He said, you need a home. You need a church building. You need a job. And I'm very concerned about your kid's schooling, especially Caleb, because of his handicap. And so I said, we'll believe God. I had no money. I'd gone through a horrific time financially. God had totally overhauled my character and still is. But he's helped me. And now, I said, okay, man, I'm praying. So I began to pray. I said, God, we need a home. Now, on the reservation, you cannot just move out there. You have to have a person that you know. Or, like for example, in Kayenta, they had the Black Mesa Mobile Home Park, which means you could rent a space from them if you had a mobile home. I didn't have that. So I went to prayer. I was praying, God, you said, you called me to this. You said, you're going to take me up on it. So I get up from prayer that morning, went to a place called High Country Mobile Homes, talking to a man by the name of Jim Mihalich. He's a backslidden Christian. Said, Jim, I want to go to the Navajo Nation and Pioneer Church. Do you have an old, inexpensive mobile home, something I could fix up? He said, Chris, he says, I've got a 16 by 80 Liberty mobile home, brand new. And I'm thinking, dude, did you hear what I said? You know how these salesmen are. These salesmen are all the same, man. They want to sell you something you don't need. And so he turns a piece of paper over on the table. And there on that contract was a zero with a line through it. He said to me, he said, Chris, I'm going to give you that home. He says, not only am I going to give it to you, I'm going to move it out there for free. I found out later on, 3 days before I came in to talk to Jim, God spoke to this man. And he said, Chris, or he said, Jim, I want you to give this home to who I tell you to give it to. And when I came in and sat down, God spoke to him and said, this is the man. Now, when I got that word from Glenn Cluck, I had no idea God was going to give me a brand new home. I showed it to my wife. She wept. I showed it to Pastor Payne. I told him, Pastor, this guy gave me a brand new home to take to the rest. I want to see it. You know, sometimes pastors, because they've been with you and they know you, they know that you might embellish things from time. I want to see it. And so I take him out there and he looks and he says, Chris, he says, you stay here in Farmington and Pastor, and I'll go to the reservation. Second thing I needed was a church building. So Mr. Mihalich had a bunch of used double wides, and a used double wide makes a great church, man. You clear all the walls out. Ask my buddy over here. You can clear them out, and you can have a great sanctuary. So I went back to him. I said, listen, Jim, would you be willing to sell us one of those used double wides for a church building? He says, go out and find one. So I looked around, found the biggest one he had. How about this one? He says, fine. He says, I'm giving that to you too, and I'm gonna take it out there for free. Now, when I got that word from Glenn Cluck, I had no idea that God was going to give me a church building. But he gave me a glimpse. I could just see a little bit of it, but I felt it here. I need a job. It's 70% unemployment, Kanta. It's Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath lives there. No jobs. So I heard about one at Holiday Inn. So I went in, applied for it, $5 an hour. So I'm walking out, and I'm looking around, and the building is in rough shape. So I go back into the guy. I said, listen, would you be willing to hire somebody to paint this building, fix it up? He says, you know, we're taking bids for that right now. I said, would you take one from me? He said, absolutely. So I worked up a number, submitted a bid for $19,000. Another man submitted a bid for $30,000, who lived out of town and would have had to accommodate his workers, food, and a place to stay. So I got a bid for $19,000 in the middle of Zarephath. Supernatural resources. A guy by the name of Dick DeRozier comes out from Holiday Inn. He starts walking around and starts giving me change orders. Went from $19,000 to $73,000. And I did it in 19 weeks. Right in the middle of Zarephath. Now, when I got that word from Pastor Cluck, I had no idea the surplus that God had. Now I needed a place to set my building. So I'm starting to look around. Guess what I found? I found the old potter's house that had been abandoned. A man by the name of Jimmy Navajo left in 1990 with the rebellion. So I found it and I started looking around, found out who owned the building. Thinking that when I called him, he's going to say, or nothing, probably nothing, and hang up. So I call him. Said, listen, Jimmy, this is Chris Hart from the Door Christian Fellowship, Farmington, New Mexico. Would you be willing to rent us that building? He said, I'll give you that building. You do what? I'll give you that building. I called Pastor Payne. Pastor Payne, this guy just gave me the old church building. He said, can you get me one? Huh. So we wrote up a document. He signed the church over to us there in Kayenta. When I got that word from Pastor Cluck, I had no idea the resources that God would put into my hands. The fourth thing that we have is after the first year of being in Kayenta, Caleb was given the award for the most popular kid in the school. All four of them. Because God makes promises and he keeps them. He's a covenant keeping God. Would you bow your heads? Heads bowed, eyes closed. You're here this morning. You're not saved. Friend, it's a difficult place to be in because it's hopeless. Hopeless. But Jesus came to seek and save you, my friend. And today's the day to be saved. Tomorrow may never come. What will you do when you stand before God? Will you rejoice? Bible says, if you're born again, you shall inherit the kingdom of God. Or will he say when he sees you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity and sin, I never knew you. It's up to you. But I give you opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ this morning. Today's the day of salvation. Would you please pray for me, preacher? Here's my hand. I need your prayer. You would lift it up. It would be my privilege to pray a simple prayer with you. Unsaved or backslidden, that's you this morning. You would lift your hand. Please pray for me. I need to get my heart right this morning. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life is here. Anyone at all before I change the order of the service? Anyone at all? Changing the order of the service then. Gentlemen, you just came out of revival. Prior to that, numbers of you have received God's promises in various ways. And God's just simply giving us this challenge to continue to contend, to press in, and to believe. I know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, a future and a hope. That's the way God views you this morning. We're going to, in just a moment, stand and believe God together. I want you to just worship God and contend there in that place. Maybe you would like to kneel down by your chair. However, you need to contend this morning. And I'm asking for us to join together. This is the place where God says, I accounted it to him for righteousness. How about you this morning? Would you stand with me if God's dealing with you? Take a knee, bow down, get a hold of God for your future, your destiny. Passionate. God, this belongs to me. God, this belongs to me. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to receive God's promises for my life. I claim them. Hallelujah. Would you stand with us this morning? We're going to just stand in place and begin to worship God. It's when we worship God, there's something that's supernatural that transpires in the hearts. Every single one of us, God has you in mind. He knows exactly what he has said to you, the promises that he has given you. I said he knows you. And this morning, my challenge is for you to say, God, I believe you. It's going to come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. God, wants us to break through. The miracles of God are present here this morning. God's plan for our lives. The strategy that God has for you. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, it's an amazing thing what God has for your life. Caleb, I'm going to tell you, God wants me to remind you of something. There has been an assault against your mind. It's been strategic. The devil has sought to discourage you. There are things that you have been contending for, breakthroughs, but it seems like it's not happening in your eyes. But God is pressing you to break through. And what you will find is that in the breakthrough, you're going to experience clarity. This clarity is what you've been asking God for. God's going to do a miracle in your family. There's going to be a breakthrough in your family. You've been asking God, God, why? And God wants me to tell you, brother, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. I said expect a miracle. Give God praise in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? I feel God's moving here. Power of God is revealed. It's not something that we have to beg for. God is good. Pastor Renz, I'm going to tell you, God has given you promises. You have brought them to an altar over and over again. And in this place, it's almost like God gives you clarity and encouragement, but it's then that the strategy comes against the altar. And what the enemy seeks to do in this is to bring you to a place where you make a choice to submit to unbelief. God says, don't do that. What I placed in your heart for help in time of need. I'm not playing tricks with you. I'm not playing games. I'm not going to treat you. I've seen your labor of love. And I have kept record. And I have seen the multitudes of people that your life has impacted. I have recorded it. It's not over, my brother. It's not over. God's going to move in an arena you can't. I said, God's going to move in an arena you can't. Hallelujah. There's such an urgency. There's such a passion. God's not going to take that away from you. That needs to continue to be there. Amen. Give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You've been praying for some specific direction, Pastor Ralph, Evangelist Ralph. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to give this to you. Your mind has been under assault. And it has been the enemy that seeks to evoke. He wants you to begin to wonder. And what the enemy seeks to do in this is advise you. And the advice always comes internally, inwardly. What's missing in me? Brother, I'm going to tell you, God sees your heart. Your heart for His will. And He heard, He said, when you told me, God, whatever, I heard that. And I have equipped you. I've even stirred you at times for the moment. I've given you results. I've given you people. I've given you favor. But there's more, and there's a direction that I am giving you in your life for a reason. I don't want you to become settled. I have more for you. And this direction's going to be very apparent. You're going to hear the voice of God, and in the voice of God, respond. Make it known. God's going to speak to you very clearly. Hallelujah. Give God praise. You know, God wants me to clarify something for you. And that is, don't retreat. Keep pressing in. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to blow your mind, Edgar. Hallelujah. It's like there's this well inside of you, this hunger. And I'm going to tell you, this hunger is something that's God-given. God's been revealing himself to you. There have been those private moments that God has given you revelation of himself. And in that revelation, God has done things for you that's caused you to take a step of faith. You're here this morning because of that. God stirred you. There was a time when you were willing to resign. I'm just going to have to do what I have to do here. But God has met with you, bro. And as God meets with you, things are going to begin to change. Don't give up. Don't let hell determine who you are in your flesh. God says, I determine that. I'm doing something in you that would have never happened. But now it is. Now it is. Now it is. Give God praise. Hallelujah. Amen. There's somebody here who has been dealing with pain in your left side, goes down into your hip area. God wants to heal that this morning. Jesus is alive, thank God. Who is that? If you would lift your hand, is that you, brother? You believe God? Is the pain there now? Okay, so I want you to come up here because your right leg's shorter than your left. We're going to believe God for that to grow out. Hallelujah. Right there, yeah. This is going to grow out. If you want to see this, I haven't talked to my brother here, but old Vinny, he's a good man. He's going to believe God with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see your feet. Okay. See how much shorter the right is than the left? Quite a bit. Say with me, Jesus. I take dominion.
I take dominion
over pain.
Over pain
in my body.
I cast out fear
and rejection.
I take dominion
over this demonic power.
Healing I expect
and believe for.
In Jesus' name.
Loose him, you spirit, I command resurrection life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Gone?
Usually that hurts.
Thank God. God's helping you. Let me tell you something. Sometimes your intellect gets in the way. And I'm going to tell you something. It can be an obstruction. God has given you that for a reason. But it's to be a powerful tool for his kingdom. When you begin to combine faith and expectancy, there's things God's shown you, man. It's been powerful at times. But there's still this retreat back into intellect. And God says, don't go there, brother. I gave you that, but I've got so much more than that. I've got miracles, signs, and wonders. You almost sometimes, it's like, you know, you feel like, I'll just do anything. And you'll actually devise a way to do it. Well, I'm going to tell you, do it. And see what God does. It's going to blow your mind, brother. Greater faith. I said greater faith. Give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we've had a time. I don't want to keep you much longer, but I sure have enjoyed this. You're a bunch of Jesus junkies. Hallelujah. Stay with it, gentlemen. God bless you.